I've been training martial arts for over 25 years now. I started when I was 5 years old. It's come to a point now for my training is also very spiritual. Every punch I take, every punch I give, every kick that I hit, I'm meditating, I'm thinking, and pray. Why am I doing this? Why do I have two legs? Why do I have two arms? And that's why I'm trying to do so many things like self-defense seminars to give back to the community. And I truly believe that's what we should be doing. It's honestly not something we should be applauded for, but I truly believe it's our duty. If you're strong, if you're able, you have to serve. You have to serve and you have to help others. It is your job. It is not something you should be proud of. It's something that you should do.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Inside the Inspired, the podcast where we dive deep into the stories of entrepreneurs and innovators who are changing the game in their respective industries. Before we dive into it, please take a second to rate, review, and subscribe to the show if you haven't already, and follow us on Spotify so you can stay up to date with all the latest episodes and content coming your way. What does it take to make something of yourself? You find out usually when you're pushing yourself to the absolute limit, and this individual is someone who has helped me discover another side of my own self through training, specifically Muay Thai. And although this individual's background delves so much deeper, a black belt in multiple disciplines, a career spanning years and years and years, even though he's so young, this individual takes people from their darkest moments and shows them a light, shows them a reflection, shows them who they are. I'm proud to call this individual a very dear friend, Mr. Coach Joon-Hee Lee. I've known him for a few years now. And through our relationship in training, it grew into a deep friendship and someone that I can genuinely call brother. I am so excited to introduce my dear friend, Coach, and brother, Mr. Coach Joon-Hee Lee. Reed. Jay, how are you today, sir?
Good, good. Thank you so much for the intro, brother. Long time coming, this podcast. I remember this was just an idea and you put it to fruition, you executed. You know, it's amazing to see us grow together, you know, on our way.
It's funny you talk about growth, man. It's funny you talk about growth because I've also seen your growth. The first time I met you is actually a very funny story. We could start there. We're going back and forth on Instagram. You tell me to come meet you at this apartment in Financial District. I show up for the spot and there's literally an underground fight club in penthouse apartment. In a penthouse apartment.
It's your penthouse apartment, one of my clients' apartment. Didn't find it. Training a lot of my city clients there, converted the living room into like a ring. Good times during COVID.
And it was actually your birthday that day.
Yep. It was actually. Eugene was really like,
you were like, stay for dinner. And I was like, okay. Made a couple friends. Some even made it to my wedding. I'm not even exaggerating.
You're not. You're not exaggerating. The wedding has.
And it was one of the most experiential nights of my life. We could leave it at that. But Jay, I want to start off by asking you, man, how did you get into martial arts? What is it that drove you to explore the discipline?
Yeah. So my father was a Marine Corps captain. South Korea, ROK. He was the head of the martial arts program there. So I learned from a young age from him. Fortunately, the hard way, you know, it was very tough on me, training me since I was a little kid. And I also got bullied a lot in school. So I would have to use martial arts to defend myself. I went to a school where I was the only Korean kid. So as you know, called up in the 90s. If you were a little different, you know, you were picked up. So, you know, that was just the way it was, you know, I got bullied in school. I had a hard time at home as well because my father. So martial arts kind of, you know, saved me from a dark path.
And So we have a clear picture. How many disciplines are you proficient in, would you say?
Hapkido, Taekwondo, Krav Maga, kickboxing, Muay Thai, boxing. Yeah, I would say those are my main focus and priority in martial arts. And also, of course, Kyokushinkai and Dutch kickboxing, which is a subcategory of kickboxing, which is what my gym specializes in.
And as the, you know, I gave you such a profound introduction, but I left out what you do. But I kind of want to go back from where you started. Currently the CEO and founder of Korean Tiger Studios.
Sir.
And in terms of how it started, you have this wild story where you went to med school, you dropped out, and then you moved to Israel. Please give the audience a bit of a background on the trajectory of your journey through martial arts that led you to Israel and back.
All right. So at Cornell, I was the captain of the kickboxing and Muay Thai team. We were a competitive team, fought against other schools. Great time. We also cross-trained with the Cornell wrestling team. But also at Cornell, I got involved with malaria research as my focus was on medical entomology. So my research focus was on cerebral malaria, and we're studying how endothelial progenitor cells could possibly heal the microvasculature of the brain and cerebral malaria patients infected by the plasmodic falciparum parasite. So yeah, I used to be a big nerd back in the day, and we had a lot of correspondence, research correspondence, and research partners, specifically in Ben Gurion University, located Beersheba, Israel. So during this time, my research time, I was in the research world for at least 7 years. I would go back and forth to Israel. And I became close with a lot of martial artists there. For example, Coach Moshe, who works with Shimon the Assassin, also Olga Ruge, and also Bakhtan Levy, some UFC guys. So I got to train with them. And actually, I got to live there. I got to live there for about 4 years. I'm also working and training and getting my Krav Maga counterterrorism while I was there. So a lot of great memories there. So it all kind of connected together because I was doing research there at the same time, also getting my medical degree. I was also training and working on a different degree, and almost medical school is kind of like a disguise for what I was trying to really do. And I was just trying to become more proficient in my martial arts training. And for myself, become certified and a legit instructor for all Krav Maga counterterrorism, which fascinates me as well.
So you mentioned that it was a veil, this other side of you that really was taking to the martial arts. What was it specifically? Was there a calling? Was there something that you felt deep inside you that wasn't aligned? Help the audience understand where your head was at, because maybe someone's going through the same thing. Maybe someone's dealing with a situation where they're out of alignment, and your story can help them gain some clarity over their current situation.
Yeah. So to be honest, I felt like most of my life, I was living someone else's dream and someone else's vision. Well, I have 35 doctors in my family. My grandfather was the founder of Korea University Medical School. He was one of the first Asian epidemiologists for the World Health Organization. He was a professor at St. Louis Medical School as well. So I come from a lineage of people that work in medicine, and that was supposed to be my path. So I went to college, went to Cornell, graduated with honors, you know, majored in biological sciences. I double majored in entomology with a specific focus on medical entomology. So I was interested in global health, what I minored in, traveling the world and doing medicine, et cetera. Because if I was going to do medicine, I was forced into medicine, then I at least wanted to travel, you know, and help people in need. And it's funny, I actually went to Africa for 4 summers. All my summers at during Cornell were dedicated 3 months to Africa, specifically Malawi. I went to the villages there. I was stationed at Damluk Hospital in Lilongwe, Malawi. Had the best time. And it's funny because I was there for medical projects, but during my spare time, I would teach martial arts at the hospital to kids that wanted to learn it. To be honest, that was my highlight. It wasn't the medical missions. It was teaching martial arts to kids. Ironically, that's what I do now. You know, so I stayed consistent with my passion, even though I didn't really get the support of my family and friends and colleagues. They all thought I was crazy when I wanted to pivot. And all along, they didn't know that that was my passion since I was a kid. And I'm glad I made the pivot. It was very hard to this day. You know, my parents don't talk to me, unfortunately, because I chose to follow my heart, follow my passions and my dreams. And eventually, you know, we're going to grow a lot more, and hopefully it helps me one day. And if they don't, it's okay, because I have a family here. And you're also my family, my brother.
I'm really so proud of the journey that you've taken, especially in getting to know your character. There's a razor sharp salesmanship to your skill set that I think is unparalleled in every person that I've ever met, because you have this unique ability to make someone feel, especially when it comes to novice individuals that are learning how to punch, kick for the first time or getting hit for the first time, that you're giving them this real life experience and empowering them at the same time, even though there's this wild element of vulnerability in the interaction and the relationship itself. So
yes,
when you were talking about the lack of support and following your heart and all of those wonderful things, was there a particular moment or catalyst that you can point to that led you to finally follow your heart?
So I was about to take my anatomy and physiology exam for studying my butt off. I was eating meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the library. My only breaks were shadow boxing in the library between bookshelves to keep myself sane. And just one day while I was in the library, just eating my chips, crackers while studying for my 10th hour. I just remembered what one of my coaches said, Coach Moshik. He asked me, why are you training so hard? You're a medical student. You have a life, you know, outside of this training. Why are you staying in my couch and trying to train at my gym every day? I told them, this is what I love. I love training. I love martial arts. I love expressing myself through my body. I love the feeling of confidence when, you know, I could finish my training session and learning new moves, because at the same time, I'm learning martial arts, I'm also learning about myself. You know, at the same time, I'm creating an art that I love, that I'm passionate about. And then he asked me, then what's stopping you from just doing this full time? I'm doing it. I have a gym across the street where I live. And I told him, after he said that to me, he's like, you know what? One day you'll see, coach, and I'll do the same. Fast forward 7 years later, I did the same. And here we are. I live across the street from my gym. I have over 40 classes running, over 100 private sessions running a week. Got about 8 coaches here working with me. Well, ready to expand already to our space because our classes are getting too packed now. And that was the moment. I said, enough is enough. I'm tired of living the life that I don't want to live. And it's time to do what I love, because I knew deep in my heart, I knew I can help more people this way. I knew medicine is great. There's something wrong with medicine, but just wasn't here for me.
I think it's so funny because you have such a proficiency. You could tell even the way that you speak about it, the familiarity that you have with medicine, the particular area of expertise and field of study that you were in, it still is very reflexive for you. You're able to recall on it at any second. And 100%. There's just this natural proficiency that comes with the things that you're passionate about that you can't ignore. And you just went to go explore it very unapologetically. And to me, that's so fascinating because so many people out there are tethered to these visions that other people have. They're out of alignment, like I was saying earlier. And it's very difficult for people to take that leap into their passion, right? Because passion doesn't pay the bills. You can't go to the grocery with your black belt and say, hey, can I buy some milk? That doesn't pay the bills, unfortunately, right? Exactly. So there's an element of responsibility that we have to uphold, right? But at the same time, a vision that we want to live into. And when I think about your story, there's this unique element where you have this nice young Korean man, drops out of med school, but you ventured off to Israel. Why Israel?
So Israel, because we've had research correspondents specifically in Ben-Gurion University working on our malaria research project with this as well, regarding a vaccine development research. And Ben-Gurion University has actually one of the best infectious disease specialists that work there. And I actually studied virology there and bacteriology. And it was very interesting. Israel is very advanced in the medical health sciences and their technology. So that's what brought me there in the first place. And then I stumbled upon just great martial artists as well. I met so many professional fighters there. Kyokushinkai artists, Hapkido artists, and Krav Maga masters who taught me their art, you know, who've taken me in and showed me their ways of martial arts, which I appreciate. And even to this day, I'm in touch with them, contact them, or they contact me to check up on me and my gym, and I ask them questions about their gym and their life and their family. So, I miss them to this day. And I always tell them to come by. They can travel.
What is your impression of Israel? I feel like you're an objective third party, independent of everything that's going on right now. Unbiased, right? But tell me, what is your impression of Israel in your experience?
Yeah, well, in my experience, I had a great time there. You know, some of my closest friends are there. So it really breaks my heart what's happening right now and the conflict, because at the same time, I also have friends from Palestine, and it just really breaks my heart that I see two of my friend groups fight each other. It's like seeing that third brother, and I'm seeing my two brothers fight each other, and it breaks my heart, because all I want is for us to just all get along, you know, for us to get along and not have to fight like this. And to be honest, I personally think that there shouldn't be this type of conflict. This should just be a war on terror in general, instead of Israel versus Palestine. And, you know, I just wish our world could be just united against terrorism and not like a specific group. Why is this Jewish versus Muslim? Why is it based on land? It should just be everyone against terrorism. You know what I mean? Yeah. We should all be united in that front against, it should be justice versus not justice. You know, it shouldn't be a land versus land, or, you know, a religion versus religion. You know what I mean? So that's my take. And it just really hurts. And honestly, seeing everything go down like this really hurts, because I have very close friends on both sides.
After you went and spent that time in Israel, you came back and you started your own thing.
Yes.
Where did you get the guts to do something like that? How'd you develop that entrepreneurial spirit and channel your artistry, your skill set into what has now become Korean Tiger Studios?
So, because so much of my life, I was fulfilling someone else's dream and vision and a legacy, Korean, and of course, you know, filial piety, if one heard of that terminology, right? Respecting your parents, respecting your elders, and following down your lineage, ancestral lineage. You're not coming from a backup of doctors. I was supposed to fulfill that lineage. I was supposed to complete my grandfather's work. And to be honest, I was good at it too. Got good grades. I've done a lot of good work in the research world. But it just wasn't me. You know what I mean? It just wasn't me. So when I got to finally do what I love, I was just nonstop. I trained 10 private clients a day. You know me. I went to apartment, even when gyms were closed, I would train private clients in parks, in apartments, 10-hour days, 16-hour days, 17-hour days. I would edit all my own content, be a one-man team. And then I began to train fighters. Fighters began to win. And slowly, slowly, we grew. And other trainers contacted me, and I started to build a team. And to this day, you know, working from 7 a.m. all the way up until 2 a.m., you know, I'll sleep a few hours back to work. You know, we're building. This is what I love. Now I can finally do what I'm passionate about. I can finally do what I see a vision in, you know, and I see a future in. And I see visibly that we're helping students, helping clients become better versions of themselves. Martial arts is not just for their physical, for their mental, for spiritual, their psychological. I've seen students not only lose 30, 40 pounds, but also beat depression, beat anxiety, beat suicidal thoughts, beat negative thoughts, which to me is the most important thing. Because what we're doing is a type of preventative medicine. Stress is the number one cause of sickness. What we're doing is we're literally smashing stress. And the beauty of it all as well is that martial arts brings people together. We're united. When people come to my gym, there is no politics. There is no race. There is no religion. There is no Israel is Palestine. We're brothers and we're sisters and we're united for a good cause to just be better, to just be a better version of ourselves, you know? And that's the most important thing. We're united in martial arts. We're united in the pursuit of being the best version of yourself you can, not only for yourself, but for your family, for your loved ones. You know, for your wife, your husband, for your kids. Because this is training you to be a stronger person. Not only here, but here. And in a time where mental health is so important, in a time where there's so much doubt and confusion anywhere, this is something that will be here always. Martial arts training, which is why even without me, KTS lives on. Great instructors. I have amazing students that will pass on, you know, our mission. I'll pass on our purpose.
The Inspired Speaker Formula just dropped, a formula to help you break free from speaking anxiety and stage fright. I designed this course based on overcoming my own fears of getting on stage. Caught in my own head, I was only thinking about my feelings rather than the message that I had to offer. It's about showing up for everyone else in the room and delivering in a way that brings value to your audience. That's what this course is about. How to pick your theme, theory, and thesis and normalize your fears around public speaking so you can do it in a way that captures and keeps your audience's attention. As someone who struggled with learning disabilities growing up, this course is the solution that I needed, and now I'm offering it to you. You can catch the course on Udemy or insidetheinspired.com, where you can also earn a special gift from me to you. Just use the access code INSPIRED. That's right. Head over to insidetheinspired.com to go check it out. All right, let's get back to the show. One of the first times that we got together, I remember I was you're holding the pad, I'm kicking a pad, and you're telling me to step aside and show me how to kick. I was very proud of my flexibility, and I was thinking that was enough. But you showed me about turning my hip over and walking me through the technique. And I remember saying to you, I want to kick like you kick. And you gently smiled and said you had put in thousands of hours and reps into it, where it's like, you can do it, but it's going to take a lot of work. And to understand my kick, you got to understand how many times I've kicked. And so when I think about that sentiment, right, it's like, fear not the man who's practiced 10,000 kicks, but one kick 10,000 times, right? I think it goes something like that. I think about how you handle your stress and your dynamics. And so where I want to go with the question is, there's this element of proficiency that goes into your skill set. And with that, this inherent nature to flip a switch. And I've seen you do it so many times, where you're this nice, charming, charismatic young guy to a lion, to this wolf of a man, that in a snap of a finger, all of a sudden you're someone else and you've embraced this warrior ethos. What's going on with that specific transformation, and how do you harness it on command?
So I truly believe that a good person is someone capable of violence, but has enough self-control to never use it unless absolutely necessary to protect yourself and people you love. A good person is not synonymous to a weak person. If you don't know how to hurt anyone, don't defend yourself, and just weak, it just means that you're just not an efficient human being, you know, especially in this day and age. So I believe to be a truly good person and to be the optimal man, you should train your body and mind to be an savage, an absolute warrior, but also to train your heart and mind equally as savage, equally as tough, to be completely disciplined and to be in control of yourself, of your emotions and every mind. And I'm still working on it to this day. You know, I'm not perfect. I just make mistakes all the time. But my training of the martial arts, I do that, you know, as I said, not just to be strong physically, but also to be strong mentally and emotionally and psychologically and spiritually, because in my opinion, that's the most important thing, especially as a fighter. I tell all my fighters, so this is 80%, 20% physical, 80% mental. That's why I love what you do. You know, you're always talking about mental, always talking about the spiritual, always talking about the psychological, always looking deeper, always looking deeper. So I truly believe when you reach at such a high level of martial arts training, I've been training martial arts for over 25 years now. I started when I was 5 years old and I'm 31 now. So I've been training since that for over 25 years. Well, it's come to a point now for my training is also very spiritual. Every punch I take, every punch I give, every kick that I hit, I'm meditating. I'm thinking and pray, you know, why am I doing this? Why am I moving my body? Why do I have two legs? Why do I have two arms? And that's why I'm trying to do so many things like self-defense seminars to get back to the community. You know, did a self-defense seminar for an NGO to provide clean water wells in India. I worked with Motion Physical Therapy. We do a lot of collaborations with a lot of other fitness centers and physical therapy centers. And I truly believe that's what we should be doing. It's honestly not something we should be applauded for, but I truly believe it's our duty. If you're strong, if you're able, you have to serve. you have to serve and you have to help others. It is your job. It is not something you should be proud of. It's something that you should do. You know what I mean? That's just my outlook on life. And that is why I have this duality, because I have a lot of love in my heart. At the same time, this love that can provide nurturing and water, for example, water to the plants. That water can also turn to fire. And that fire can be used to protect and defend and stand up, can stand up for people that can't stand up for themselves. And with that, you need that warrior side, right? You have the warrior and the buck, you have the yin and the yang. You can't just be just all loving and nurturing. For example, how we teach the kids, with, of course, love, but we discipline them hard. Every time they don't listen, they have 5 seconds to listen and obey the command, do push-ups. Do you want to be lazy and last or first and fast? We're training them for the real world. Are they going to get a raise in their job? They're not quick. They're not efficient. They don't get the job done. Are they going to survive in the real world? That's exactly the duality I'm talking. We love them, but we're hard on them. We're nurturing, but we fight hard. So, yeah, hopefully that answered your question.
Pardon the interruption for this episode. We have a quick word from our sponsors, and then we're right back to the show. After the 1,000 pull-up rep challenge, I got super sick, and I started to do some research. How can I control my immune system? How can I put myself in a better position than I've currently put myself in? And candidly, I was not using any real supplements to help me keep my immune system and body in check. Some protein shakes, some other vitamin D, magnesium, but nothing really consistently. I thought there was a lot of pride in not using supplements, and that was my mistake. So I experimented with a few different brands over the course of the last few months, and the brand that I have decided to work with is ProMix. I spent some time testing out their products, and truthfully, from the taste to the function, ProMix is by far the leader in the market when it comes to clean, organic ingredients that you can rely on to help keep your body in check. So I've partnered with ProMix to help you get 20% off your first order, whether it's the protein cereal bars, the electrolytes, the probiotic, the prebiotic D-Bloat, mixing them with the electrolytes, the flavors on point, the ingredients are on point, and truly my quality of life has improved as a result. I can candidly say that. The story of the founders is awesome in and of itself. So independent of that, the brand is one that I can stand behind, knowing that I get what my body needs so I can perform at my peak. So head over to the ProMix website, and to get 20% off your first order, type in the code inside the Inspired. That's right. For 20% off your first order, you can type in the code inside the Inspired and get the quality product that you need. It's one that I've always wondered about, and I think you hit on it wonderfully, man. I've never really heard you speak like that. Duality is a very gentle way to put it. I would really call it a flip of the switch, man. Because when you just, like Kobe had it, MJ had it, like you turn it on, and there's a ruthlessness that comes along with it. I think a lot of fighters have it too, right? Like they're the nicest guys. I see it every time you're about to demonstrate how to perform a particular technique. There's a different zone that you get into, and it is on command. It's one of the coolest things, because I think there's an element of focus. I remember when we were doing boxing drills and I was developing my technique, that it transferred over into the real world in a different kind of way because my hand-eye coordination. So I remember following the cursor during someone giving an Excel presentation, and my eyes were like, wow, I'm following everything. Like this, I wasn't able to do that before. I felt like
Peter Parker Spider-Man status on that.
This is my channel.
And one more aspect is, you know, I'm curious what you think it takes to be a good coach. Because I had a very poor experience the first time I'd interacted with Muay Thai, even though I made a very dear friend. Shout out to Ricky, our mutual friend Ricky. Who's now in law school, my alma mater, the irony of that whole thing. And I end up coming across your content. We end up linking up, and obviously the rest is history. Mm-hmm. I'm curious what your take on being a good coach is, and I'll just share my firsthand experience with you in two different scenarios. The first is you trained me on how to actually fight Muay Thai and how to utilize proper technique. I had a background in karate till I was like 12 years old, but that only gets you so far, right? And then all these years later, I wanted to investigate that a bit further, where we had trained together for a year and a half or so, and I really was putting in the hours. You were coming over at 1 a.m. sometimes when I was finishing a shift at the DA's office, and we'd go at it for an hour, hour and a half, and then we'd eat. I'd go to bed, wake up, train, or steak. Sometimes that we'd order from V-Nick and catch.
It was duality, as we said.
Yeah, right. Literally the duality, and you were really helping me discover another side of my humanity, and then a year and a half, 2 years later, I guess a few months ago, I had the 1,018 pull-up challenge, and you show up and support as a friend, and then that thing slowly evolved into you having to be a coach. And you got me through that experience along with all the other support. And I'm curious, what is your take on what it takes to be a good coach?
Good coach. Something that I've been thinking about a lot as well. Last year, I actually changed my Instagram handle from Trainer JV to Coach June H. Lee. Because I stopped just being a trainer and a coach, because as a coach, you need to understand. You need to understand not only the movements, but you need to understand your students, your fighters, your clients' mindset. And that takes time. And that takes a lot of nurturing and adjustments, because everyone is different. I can't coach you the same way I coach my other guys. I can't coach my heavyweight the same way I coach my lightweight versus I coach my welterweight. Everyone has different trauma, different upbringings, different outlooks on life. And as a coach, you have to take time to understand that at a deeper level, because that is the only way you can unlock the true potential of your athlete. You gotta get in their head. You gotta know what gets them going. You gotta know what gets them ticking. You gotta know what drives them. You can't just know how well they kick or how they punch or where they're from, etc. You have to really know and understand why are they here? What led to this moment? What is their purpose? What is their drive? That's why I ask every one of my private clients. I ask every one of my fighters that I'm training. It's like one of my students that want to join the gym. The main question I ask them is why? Why do you want to do this? It's tough. You can get bruises. You might strike. You might get embarrassed. You might want to give up. It's tough. This is one of the toughest things you could do. So I ask them why, and I just ask questions. And I ask more questions. Because I want to understand, how can I coach them if I don't know them? So a good coach takes the time to understand not only their movements, their mind, by heart. So a coach must be patient, because that takes time. That takes a lot of trust building. So a good coach has to be patient, has to have empathy to understand the emotional and psychological state, not only the physical state of the athlete and the student. So I think that is the most important thing to have as a coach, to have compassion, to have empathy, to have patience. And notice I didn't even mention skill, because that comes later. You can be the most skillful coach, but if you're a piece of crap, no one's going to want to be coached under you. I'm sorry. Coach implies coachable life as well. Not just this. You know, so that's what I believe makes a good coach. And those are all the best coaches that I've learned. They know why I do what I do. They know what I've been through. They know my pain. They know my suffering. They know my losses. They know my mistakes. So if you guys are listening to this, find a good coach. If that coach doesn't ask about you or how your day was, or these certain questions that are important to you, I think you coach. Find someone that cares. Find someone that you can call to bail you out of jail, or if you get drunk at night and you call. All my fighters know if they make a mistake or something happens, I'll pick up a 2 a.m. 3 a.m. for them. You know, because they're families. You know, they're not just clients, they're not just students, they're not just fighters, they're family.
There's a question that I ask all the guests that come on this pod, and now I'm going to pose it to you. If the future version of yourself, 10 years from now, assuming he's in that ideal spot, were to fly in and offer you some advice in order to get there, what do you think he would say to you?
Gee, 10 years from now, I would probably say, try your best to enjoy the process, because I'm just so focused on my mission and what I have to do. Sometimes I tend to just not take any breaks, or just take a deep breath and enjoy things. And I feel like I should do that more, because I'm beginning to learn more that it's not just about the end goal, or it's about the journey that brings you there. You know, it's about boom, 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 boom. That it shouldn't be this, shouldn't be that. It should be boom, boom. I'll take that more than this any day, because this means shortcuts. There's no realness. There's no depth. If you just do this, that's the journey. That's the process. That's what's going to make sure you stay there. That's going to build that character. That's going to build that mental fortitude so you can stay there. A lot of people that go, boom, guess where they go? Quickly. That's my worst nightmare. To make it big and fall, because my mind and my heart's not there. And the only way for your mind and heart to be there is to enjoy the process. Go through it. Go through the ups and downs. Be steady. Go through the losses. Go through the wins. Go through the late nights, early morning. Go through the doubts. Go through the fear. Go through the failures. Go through the times where you just want to give up, where you keep going, because you know this is what you're meant to do. And you know that with hardships and falls, there'll be greater successes. So I'll tell my younger self to just enjoy the process and enjoy the people around you who you're going with. They'll make the moments. They'll make those moments worth it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Coach Joon-Hee Lee, thank you for coming on the show, man. Please let everyone know where they can keep up with your journey.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Check me out on Instagram, at Coach Joon-Hee Lee, or come by the gym anytime. You guys are all welcome to come train. Check us out at Korean Tiger Studios, Fort Lee, New Jersey. And I'm waiting for you to come, John. I'm waiting for you to come check out the gym again. Start training with us. I know our work has been busy and everything. So you get a new baby as well, of course. My niece, she's one of our warriors.
I know, man. I'm holding it. Just so you guys know the quality of individual this guy is, I'm not saying he's going to give you the same wedding gift, but my kids have free life lessons at Korean Tiger Studios in perpetuity. And he also gave a very generous gift to pay for the pads that those kids would be using to attend those lessons. And that is the type of dude this guy is. Of course I remember, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show, man. You're the man. This was a blast. And I'll see you soon, brother.
See you soon. Love you, brother.